And I am so glad that you're here. Take your Bible and let's turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If you're new to Whitesburg Baptist Church or you're a guest today, maybe you're online or in person, we are coming to the closure of a many weeks and months study of the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And the title of this series has been Reason to Believe. Now, in a moment, we're going to conclude by reading verse 18 through verse 25. And that is the very text that we're going to be looking into this morning. And today, we're going to be looking at the final words of Jesus in this gospel narrative. Now, before we get there, I think it's really important that we go back and remind ourselves why this series of messages for all these months was entitled Reason to Believe. If you have your Bible, look with me in John chapter 20 in verse 30 and verse 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, I want to remind you that what John said was this. He said, I've written all of this so that you may believe that Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you would have eternal life. Now, I think before we go into the text today, I need to just say a few words that whether you're online or you're here in person, the most important thing for anyone and every one of us is this, that you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are a Christian and that you belong to Jesus Christ. He is yours and you are his, and that one day you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. You say, how do I do that? Well, the Bible says, John writes, I've written this that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. The Christ is the Messiah. What did Jesus do for us? It's very simple. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, took on the form of flesh. He died on the cross and his blood was spilled that he might pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. He was placed in a borrowed tomb and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And the Bible says that if you will admit that you're a sinner, turn to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and put your complete trust in him, the scripture says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, my question is, have you done that? Do you know that you are a child of the living God? The greatest desire of my heart is that everyone online and in person can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that I am a Christian, and one day when I die, I am going to heaven to be with Christ. If you don't know that, what I'm asking you this morning is, if you're online, to connect with the online pastor through chat. If you're in this room, I don't want you to leave here without making sure that you have responded to the Holy Spirit drawing you to Christ as Savior and Lord. With that said, I move to chapter 21, and I want to remind you of what took place last week in our study of the first 17 verses. If you remember, Peter had denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has already appeared to the disciples. And after appearing to the disciples, he sends them into Galilee, and he goes there, and he has an encounter where he restores Peter to a right relationship with him. And 3 times Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And that leads us to verse 18. And I want you to follow along as I'm going to read aloud what transpires next after Jesus has revealed himself again to his disciples on the seashore there in Galilee. They've had breakfast together, and apparently Jesus and Peter are going on a walk. John is following, and I want you to listen. This is a continuation of Jesus in his restoring Peter to a right relationship. Listen to what he says, verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Now I want to stop there and I want to simply say this, that the terminology that's used would have been a common language in that day, signifying crucifixion. So Peter is hearing Jesus say to him, one day you too will be crucified. But look at verse 19. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about that man? And Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Therefore this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die yet. Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is testifying these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Now, when you read this 21st chapter, you might ask yourself, why didn't John just end at verse 21 of chapter 20? Why in this 31st verse, why did John just not stop right there? It would have been a great place to stop. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I mean, that is a great place to stop right there. But the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the direction of God moves us into the restoration of Peter and the commissioning of Peter for further ministry for a reason. I want you to understand this. Believing is not the ending, but it is the beginning of a journey into eternity. Some people act like, when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when I come to saving faith in Jesus, that's it. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven one day when I die. This is good news. It's done. It's over. Okay, I can carry on. That's not at all what Jesus intends for me. It's not what Jesus intends for you. It's what not Jesus didn't want for Peter. He wants every one of us to understand that believing in him, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and having life in him is only the beginning of a journey into eternity, that we are following him, serving him continually throughout our lives. As a matter of fact, when Jesus restores Peter, these last verses have to do with the commissioning of Peter. I want you to listen to this statement. Jesus called Peter to demonstrate his love by putting his yes on the table. In other words, Jesus had restored him by reminding him, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then immediately he tells them that he's going to be a martyr. And twice in this chapter, he uses what is a present active imperative verb, the word follow, which simply means to come behind, to go after, to model after, to pursue after, to follow the one that you're wanting to emulate their life and their purpose And Jesus says two times to Peter, follow me. Jesus called on Peter to demonstrate his love by putting his yes on the table. Now, I want you to understand, I have people all the time that say to me, Daryl, I love Jesus, but they don't follow him. Daryl, I love Jesus with all my heart, but there's no evidence in their life that they are pursuing the life that Jesus saved them to pursue. Salvation, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the beginning, not the ending, of your Christian pilgrimage. It begins with salvation, and it continues in an eternal way on a journey into glory when you're going to live forever with him. Let me say it another way. Love for Jesus compels you to follow him no matter what. If you say, I love Jesus, it means that you are compelled to follow him no matter what. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 10, Jesus said, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. A well-known verse, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Say it with me now. Take up his cross daily and follow me. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that God has called us than more to just believe. He's called us to also believe and follow. I like what MacArthur says. He says, love is the power of obedience. Love is the power of duty. Love is the power of service. Love is the power of sacrifice. Love is the power of worship. Love is the power of fellowship. Love is everything. So you see that in these verses, the Lord's dialogue with Peter is this: Peter, if you really, really do love me, then you're going to, say it with me, follow me. I was thinking about this watching the Iron Bowl yesterday. Anybody else watch the game? Anybody in here not care about the game? Amen. I like that. I like that. You know, because it is what? After all, just a game. Now, it's enjoyable and it's fun and all of that kind of thing. And, you know, if you're an Ohio State fan, I'm sorry, but I'm so glad Michigan won yesterday. I don't know why, but I just am. But here's what I was thinking. You know, I remember moving from Colorado to Huntsville in 1975. And I remember one of the first things I was asked was, who do you follow? And they weren't asking me, do you follow Jesus or Satan? Well, I guess that depends on who you're, but they were talking about a game. And the truth of the matter is, it's really kind of sad how idolatrous we become about our games. What if God's people, the next time somebody said to you, hey, who do you follow? What if you said, Jesus. See, Christ is your life. Christ ought to be your identity. You don't go around saying, hey, I'm an Alabama fan who happens to be a Christian, or I'm a Florida fan who happens to be a Christian. You say, I'm a Christian. Christianity is not about being a fan. It's about being a follower. In John chapter 13 and verse 36, Peter had said to Jesus, Lord, where you are going, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Jesus was prefacing the reality that one day Peter was going to die in the same kind of death that Jesus died. You're not going to do it now, Peter, but one day you will. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Who are you following? There are four things that I find in this text that I want to say to the Lord, that I want you to be willing to say as well in your own personal life. I want you to be able to say, Lord, I will follow you willingly. Yes, Lord, I will follow you willingly. When you read this passage of Scripture and Jesus is speaking to Peter, the whole premise of everything that is being said is love, love, love. I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. You know that my love needs to grow for you. And Jesus invites him, I want you to follow me. And the point of the matter is this, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the love that you have will compel you to follow him. Sometimes married people say this, I love those commercials, that the insurance commercials where they say we can't keep you from being your parents because I am becoming that and it scares me. But have you ever heard your parents say something like this? If she leaves me, I'm following. Jesus wants you to love him so much that you are willing to follow him no matter what that means. Yes, Lord, I will follow you willingly. But he also says, yes, Lord, I will follow you faithfully. Now, when Jesus tells Peter that he is going to be crucified, we don't know it according to Scripture. We do know it according to historical records elsewhere. But before John actually likely wrote this gospel narrative, Peter had already died. As a matter of fact, what we know is that Peter was likely crucified under the Roman ruler Nero. Some say that Peter was crucified upside down rather than right side up, but he was crucified for Christ. I want you to think about it. Jesus is about to be ascended to the right hand of the Father. And Peter has been restored into a right relationship, and now he's being commissioned and sent out, and Jesus says, I want you to follow me. I am commanding you to follow me, and in your mind, I've already placed the reality that you are going to be a martyr for me. Could you imagine what it may have been like for Peter wondering, you know, I wonder if it's today. I wonder if they're going to take my life next week when I go here or go there. See, the problem is for many of us, we have lived in a Christianity that doesn't cost us much. We have lived in a Christianity that we can kind of slide around and we don't even have to confess when people say, who do you follow? We give a team rather than Christ. And we don't, it doesn't cost us anything much to follow Jesus yet in this country. It may one day, I don't know. But just recently, I'm reminded of a new believer who literally walked away from family and everything else to follow Jesus. And it has cost him everything. Now I want to ask you a question. Is the crucified Christ who died to pay the penalty for your sin and rose from the dead worthy of your faithfulness no matter what? No matter if people make fun of you. No matter if it cost you a promotion. No matter if it cost you family or friendships or anything else, I want to ask you, can you say today, Lord, I am willing to faithfully follow you no matter what? These are the final words of Jesus to Peter. Lord, I will follow you willingly. Lord, I'm going to follow you faithfully. There's a third word here, and that is, Lord, I will follow you selflessly. Where do you get this in the text? Well, as Jesus is walking with Peter, Peter turns around and he does what every one of us does. He sees John. That's who this is referring to. John is coming behind and he says, well, what about him? And Jesus basically rebukes Peter and says, you don't be concerned about what I'm doing with him. If I choose for him to remain until I come, that has nothing to do with you. You must. It's present active imperative. Peter, you are commanded to follow me. Now, when I say the word selflessly, what I'm saying is this. Peter initially was more concerned about whether or not Jesus was going to ask something of John that he was asking of Peter. Now we know that Peter and John both served the Lord faithfully. Peter was martyred for the faith. John lived in exile on Patmos, but lived to the ripe old age of an elderly man. And their paths were different, but yet they were both called to follow Jesus faithfully. Now, I think one of the challenges that we face is this. We're always looking at someone else. We're going, well, Lord, why don't you ask them to do that? And God, why are you asking me to do that? And we're comparing ourselves to others, and we're often thinking that someone else ought to be doing something more than what they're doing. And ultimately, the one person that I've got to be concerned with about whether or not I am faithfully, willingly, selflessly following Jesus is me. See, God may be telling you to walk away from that career that you have loved and enjoyed, and God may be calling you to go with the IMB as a missionary. I don't know that. God may have sent you to that business where you're at specifically because there are lost people there that God wants you to share the gospel with. I know that for a fact because that's what the Word says. But it may be that you have a limited amount of vacation in your year, and the Spirit of God speaks to you and says, hey, I want you to take your vacation and go on a mission trip, pay your own way to go on the mission trip, take the few days of vacation that you have, and I want you to go serve me. And then you see a church member that goes, hey, we're going to Destin that week. And you're like, well, Lord, what about them? And God said, don't be concerned about them. I am in as sovereign control over their life as I am of yours. The question is, am I willing to serve the Lord selflessly, no matter what? Can you say, yes, Lord, I will serve you selflessly? That's what Jesus was asking Peter to do. But there's a fourth word. Yes, Lord, I will follow you willingly. I will follow you faithfully, no matter what that means. I will follow you selflessly, regardless of what others are doing. And Lord, I will follow you obediently. Obediently. Jesus made this statement very clear. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so what that means is this. Lord, you know I love you. Tend my sheep, Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. Feed my sheep, Peter. Peter, do you love me? And this time Peter was grieved. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Then Peter, follow me. And following Jesus Christ is living obediently to him no matter what. You see, I want to say this again. Jesus called Peter to demonstrate his love by putting his yes on the table before he even knew what the question was. When we say putting your yes on the table, we're saying whenever, wherever, whatever, no matter the cost, Yes, God, I'll do it. Wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever you ask of me, I'll give. Whenever you need me, I'm available. I'm keeping all the options open. Lord, my yes is on the table. And let me rephrase it one more time. Love for Jesus compels you to follow him no matter what. Believing is only the beginning of the Christian life. It doesn't stop there. It is where we begin this exciting adventure called the Christian life. And we simply lay our yes on the table and we say, Lord, no matter what age, no matter what stage, no matter what place I am in my life, I will obey you. I've had to learn this all along the journey of my Christian life and the ministry to which God's called me. So I close out this message. I want you to understand this is not something that I have personally achieved. It's something I'm continuing to grow in, saying, Lord, I'm willing. My yes is on the table. I remember when I was in North Carolina and God had called me to Mississippi, and my youngest son was going to be a senior in high school. We moved my youngest son the summer he started his senior year. And man, that's hard. My other two kids said, I can't believe you're doing this to him. I said, I'm not doing it to him. God is. God called us to this. There's been times that God has told me to give something that, man, at first I was like, Lord, are you serious? But when I was obedient, I have found such joy. Peter was about to embark upon a ministry and a journey that throughout his life, he would have to remind himself, Lord, I told you I'm willing. Lord, I want to be faithful. Lord, I want to be selfless. And Lord, I want to be obedient. But I cannot do it on my own. Lord, I need you. I want to ask you a question. Are you following Jesus Christ with those four characteristics? Willingly, faithfully, selflessly, and obediently. Now maybe the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning. I want you to stand. We're going to sing in a moment. John's going to come. And I don't know what God's been saying to you, but I know this. Here's what I know. Please listen to me. Everything in the world is competing with your heart and your mind. You can't have two masters, the scripture says. I actually preached a sermon years ago called Rivals for the Human Heart. And I think one of the great challenges that we're facing is there is such a rivalry for the heart of every one of us that we are battling every day to make sure Jesus is Lord in every area of our life. And if we're going to impact this world, if we're going to touch this city and minister to those that are in need, care for those that are dying, take the gospel to those that are lost, it is going to require of us a fellowship that is not casual. But listen to this. Following Jesus is always qualified by the cross. There's only one road for the Christian. One road. It's called Calvary's Road. It's the way of the cross. Death to self, life to him. And I don't know how God may have been speaking to you this morning, but as God speaks into your life, maybe God's calling you to the mission field. Our missions pastor is going to come down here. Maybe you need to talk with him and say, man, I just think God's been dealing with me about a missions calling. Maybe you're here and you say, I need Christ as my Savior. We'd be glad to speak with you. Maybe you need to join the church, or maybe you just need to get out of your seat and come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to put my yes unequivocally on the table for you. Father, I pray that your Spirit will move and that you will guide us. God, please help us to believe, but let us receive the very life of Jesus and live that life faithfully. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.